For most of us, it seems like there are times in our lives where we're never satisfied. It's just nothing can satisfy us. And sometimes that's because we have a legitimate need that we need to fulfill. Look at the Israelites in the first reading. They were starving to death. They were out in the middle of the desert. They were longing to go back to Egypt because they had no food, and they were crying out to God for the food that they would receive. But sometimes that desire that we have, that need that we have, is because we're looking for something more. We don't feel fulfilled because we think there's something more that we need. This is like the people in the gospel reading today that were looking for our Lord. He fed them with the loaves and the fish, and they were looking for more. Of course, they wanted more food, but they were looking for something more as well. Same thing in our lives. We know there's something missing in our lives, and we're looking everywhere we can to fulfill those desires. You know, we might look to other people as a fulfillment, our friends, our family, our relationships. We might look to that. We might look to things that we have, or new things that we want to buy, or the latest gadget, or whatever it happens to be. We think that those things will fill our desires. Maybe we look to hobbies or recreational activities that we enjoy, exercise, things like that, that if we do more of this, that will fill our desire. Sadly, some people, to fill these desires, they look to things that help them escape from reality. Addictions such as drugs, alcohol, or the most recent addiction, of course, being internet addiction. And then they would look to places like unhealthy books, websites, TV shows, things like that, pornography, things along that lines that help them to escape the reality that they're trying to avoid. But of course, the problem is that all these things that people are looking to fulfillment don't actually fulfill us. The fulfillment we seek is not in the things of the world. As our Lord says in the gospel, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. We receive the fulfillment that we seek. Deep down we have a desire. We receive that fulfillment through uniting ourselves with our Lord Jesus Christ. As our Lord says, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The sad part is, we keep seeking for all these different things, but what we're truly seeking is eternal life that we've lost through our disobedience in sin. And because we don't understand it, we misunderstand this desire as seeking the passing things of earth. You know, we get some temporary fulfillment from the things of earth, and we see that as a way to ease our desire. But it doesn't completely fulfill it. It just eases that desire. What that desire deep down in our souls is a realization in our souls that our relationship with God is lacking. There is something lacking between us and God. And what we need is the bread of life. We need our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, to reunite ourselves with God. As our Lord says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Well, this week, we're in the middle of what's known as the Bread of Life Discourse, John chapter 6. It began last week with the feeding of the 5,000, and will go on for a couple more weeks. This chapter is the most important, or one of the most important chapters in the Scriptures, because it helps us to understand the importance of the Eucharist. The Eucharist, of course, being the center of our faith, the source and summit of our faith, as the Second Vatican Council put it. Sadly, the Eucharist seems to be one of the most difficult concepts for Catholics to understand, because it's hard for Catholics to believe that those deep desires that we have can be filled by the Eucharist, not in worldly things, not in our relationship with others, not in our careers and our hobbies and so on, but in the Eucharist, in that thing that we do every week. It seems like, it seems that many Catholics don't see that as able to fulfill their desires. But we know it can, because when we receive the Eucharist worthily, it unites us to Christ. It gives us the grace we need to fulfill our desires, and unites us as members of the body of Christ. It's a visible sign of our unity as Christ, but of course it is receiving our Lord himself. Now I want to point out one thing. I mentioned that we need to receive our Lord worthily. We need to receive our Lord in a state of grace, in a state where we do not have any mortal sin between us and God. Mortal sin cuts us off from God. We need to be in a state where that no longer exists. So we need to go to confession and confess any mortal sin before we receive communion. Even if we don't have mortal sin, we need to go to confession at least once a year per the precepts of the church, which call us to once a year do our Easter duty to go to confession and receive communion at least once a year. If we refuse to receive this great sacrament, it cuts us off from God because it is a refusal to receive the sacrament of His forgiveness. It is taking our pride and putting it between us and God. And by the way, receiving confession once a year is the absolute bare minimum. Most people should probably receive it at least once a month, if not more frequently. Another part of receiving our Lord worthily is to prepare ourselves. And we do this, first of all, by fasting, especially fasting the 1 hour before reception that the rules of the church ask us to do. And I want to be clear that this fasting is only water and medicine. No chewing gum, no coffee, nothing like that. It needs to be just water and medicine. And then finally, and I think one of the most important, we need to spend time in preparation. And this is something we as Catholics aren't doing a very good job of right now. To take time before Mass, before we receive our Lord, to think about and meditate on what we are doing in Holy Communion, and more importantly, who we are receiving in Holy Communion, that we are receiving our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. This is why I always advise silent prayer before Mass, to take time to recollect ourselves and put our attention on the Lord. This is also why an idea of like praying the rosary before Mass is so wonderful, because it's taking time to do that beautiful meditative prayer of the rosary. But all this is to put our attention back on our Lord, because through the Eucharist, we truly do find the fulfillment of our deepest desire, our unity which has been lost by sin. So to seek that unity, may we always receive the bread of life worthily.